Okay, Ben's already dancing, which is slightly worrying. But welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast, sponsored by our brilliant and wonderful, I can't say enough nice things about how wonderful they are, sponsors, Charles Owen. I've got no Simy today. Simon is not with us. He's too busy jumping herbivores over sticks. But I do have the lovely Benjamin, looking very handsome as always. How are you, Benji?
Good evening. I'm very good, thank you. Or good morning to you.
And we have a guest. She's kind of making us classy, Ben, I have to say. She's taking us to a whole new level. She's taking our podcast Hollywood, I have to say. She is the actual Wonder Woman herself. She's actually in my favourite film of the moment, The Young Woman in the Sea. I just cannot get enough of that film. It's going to be the kind of film I will watch 100 times. It's right up my street. It is show jumper as well. Like this, she's just literally a Wonder Woman. Lily Aspel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. It is lovely, lovely to finally get on.
Oh my God. I have just like, I'm going to go. One of the reasons I wanted you on is because you are literally a multitasking legend for your young years. But I met you, I was pregnant with my second child. So over 5 years ago now. So you must have been quite young.
I was tiny.
But it's got to be my most famous of introductions. I got introduced to the young Wonder Woman. Can I just tell you, people listening? She was Wonder Woman. She played young Wonder Woman in the brilliant blockbuster film. And Laura Kraut tapped me on the shoulder. She's like, do you want to meet Wonder Woman? I was like, obviously. And so she dragged us over for a selfie and we all had a selfie with Laura Kraut. I mean, it's just the coolest introduction ever.
It was perfect. That day consisted of possibly one of my happiest memories ever. I came second at Olympia. I met Laura Kraut. And I met the amazing Jenny.
What more could you want from life? I love it. I love it. We got a selfie and I think it's on my Instagram. but yeah, so Laura Kraut introduced me to Wonder Woman. Ben, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Oh my goodness.
I know. But I know Ben's got loads of questions for you. But first of all, I've got to talk about Wonder Woman because it was your acting break, wasn't it? That was kind of how you got discovered. And Ben, like, we've been obviously doing a lot of research on you before we got you on, but Ben and I were both absolutely like amazed, if not slightly terrified, of how much you did your own stunts. And Ben, you've worked with actors. That is so rare, isn't it, to have an actress who does all of her own stunts at such a small age as well.
I want to know, Lily, how you made that be able to happen, because on a lot of the films we work on, it'll be like the talent is not allowed to go out of a walk on the horse. The talent is not allowed to run downhill. It's like, I also think I'm so excited to interview you today because I feel like you're a person after my own heart, because I love the idea of you sat with your parents being like, cool, yeah. I've got two career choices. I'm either going to be an actress or a show jumper. Do not worry. Life's going to be fine.
Yes.
So I want to talk about the stunts and the filming and everything, but where does it start first? What starts first? The love of wanting to be an actor? Or the love of horses?
My entire family was always horsey, so I was always gifted in that way. Mum and Dad were jockeys. I was always brought up in the racing world, which actually I'm in the racing world now. But when I was growing up, I always had ponies, always, you know, was out at farms, yards, always travelling after Mum to race course and Mum and Dad. When I started, the love of show jumping came around. I wanted to be an eventer. I have a jar that I got when I was about five, and it said write your dreams, and mine was to go to badminton 2028. And so it was like, this was in like, I don't even know when it was, but and it was, that was the first thing that sort of I really wanted to do, was be an eventer. And then as I sort of grew up and I started, like, doing hunter trials, and they just didn't give me much of a buzz as show jumping did. Like, I loved the show jumping side of it. Dressage, absolutely hated. That was just not for me. So I knew that wasn't up my alley. But when I started show jumping, I had one pony in particular that just sold, like, she was just incredible. Pepper, her name was. And she sort of kicked off for me, and I started doing, like, British show jumping, and I honestly loved it so much. So I think, firstly, the show jumping came. And then acting came up. And then it was difficult because I genuinely thought I'd just do Wonder Woman and sack it off. Like, I thought it would be like, you know, just like an extra part, and I was over the moon with it.
Like a one-hit wonder. It's kind of, if you're going to do it once, it's a pretty good bloody once, can I just say?
I know. Genuinely, Mum and I are still in disbelief of how it happened. And Mum has been with me, but she has been my mentor through it all.
How did it happen?
So it happened, we were all living in Newmarket, and Mum was like, I'm going to take a day off and let's go into London. The most random day, I think it was like a Tuesday, and Mum was like, let's go into London. So we went to London. It was, I want to say winter time. We went to, you know, see the Christmas lights. And then we went into Harrods, which was possibly my childhood dream all in one shop. And we went in and I was literally just dancing around with a hat on and sunglasses, and a casting director tapped my mum on the shoulder and asked if I would audition for a film. The rest is history.
How lucky that you knew how to ride. At no point did he know how good you would be on a horse. Like, that is, you know, when they say, I mean, I don't believe in lots of bollocks, but when they say throw stuff out into the ether and things happen for a reason, that is the prime example of the planets aligning, isn't it?
Yeah, that is my saying, everything happens for a reason. Like, it was crazy, and it was literally fate. Like, I did believe stuff, but it was fate. And when I went into the audition, and they sort of said, like, it's going to be very actiony. It's going to, you know, you're really going to, like, it's going to take a lot of fitness, and it's going to take, you know, you're going to go through stunt training. You're going to, and then I remember in the audition room, they were like, are you up for that? And I was like, yeah. Get me in that film. Anyways, the entire time, I've actually got a funny story. The entire time, Mum was like, look, if you want to stop it, we can. Like, we've always got the horses at home. We're not pressuring into you. Like, we're not doing this for, like, we're doing this for fun, basically, which is probably not the aim we should have had going into it. But she said, we're doing this for fun. Anyway, we went through about 8 months of prepping. You probably know what it's like, Ben, like, full on prep. Like, it was crazy. And then I got my script through one day, and I'm not even joking, it was like this. And I was like, that's all of me. And it was like loads of action, loads of like, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I just thought I had like I was over the moon with a background part. Anyway, then my first day on set, I was in the big bed and I was sat there wanting to go to, you know, wanting to fight like all the other Amazons. And I was sat there and I was like, before I was like literally having a panic attack. Like, I was like 7 and I was like, I can't do it. I can't. My mum was like, get the fuck on that set right now. We've been here for 8 months, the entire 8 months. She was like, you're fine. Like, we can go home. I was like, Mum, I don't want to do it. I feel genuinely sick. Like, please. She was like, get on there now. I was like, okay. By the end of it, I was more scared of Mum. So I loved it.
That is brilliant. That's basically what I said to my son this morning. But it wasn't about being an Amazon. It was just get the fucking shoes on. We need to get to school. Your mum is a hero. I love that.
I was laughing more thinking that is my mum down to a T. Compassionate in private. And then it's like a don't you blummin' let me down now. Not in front of all these people. Yes. So you were 7. Really? That's a lot to unpack, isn't it? And process. Yeah. Like even now,
like I've been doing it for 10 years now. Like I'm 17 now. But when I first started, like I don't think I realised the impact like the industry had. Like now I realize that every audition I do counts. Like I put my heart and soul into everything. But back then I just wasn't in it, you know. And I can't believe I got that many opportunities by just floating. Like I wasn't floating, but I think it was more like, I'm just doing this for fun, what about you, you know what I mean? And I think that's sort of also what casting directors loved, because I was so natural and I sort of took to it well. So I think that's possibly blessing in disguise.
Have you found that that's brought new challenges now? Because when you're thinking about that first role, massive film, because like one thing that hits me is that I always know that, say, my biggest shows of the year that I do, because I mainly perform live, my biggest shows that I do are always at the end of the year. They're in this kind of October, November, December time. And then the next time I perform will be in the spring. And so let's say the last show I do of the year is Horse of the Year show, is Hoys. And it's massive.
Yeah.
And then my first job back will be like Stockton-on-Tees Carnival with like 500 people. And so I think that can be a lot. Whereas Jenny, it's the truth. Actually, for me, that works quite well because it means that when I've got my young horses that I've trained through the winter, I can take them to these little village fairs and stuff and get them going before we're out again. So like, one, that must be a big thing on your brain. I know that you were thinking one and done, but clearly that's not how it's worked out because you're blooming good at it. And the second thing is that must have been quite a thing when like your first big audition was, well, no, I don't know about the audition, but like, you know, you're doing every child's dream, which is to run around Harrods like you're the kid in Home Alone, playing with the toys and having a good time. And they just see you and think, she's right, let's have her. But then it must have made your audition since such a different experience. Because like now you'll be like getting ready to do self-tapes and all of that sort of stuff. And they're like, oh goodness, it says the character's a redhead. Should I put a wig on or should I do this? Or like, oh, do I need to do the accent? Like, how's that transition been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was always, I think the last couple of years growing up, like until I was about 15, 14, I was always working. Like every year I was doing a different film and I was always working. And the last couple of years, it's just slowed down so much, obviously because of the strike and everything like that. I have found it tough and I've really sort of laid, like I've sort of found peace in the horses because I just feel like I'm never really sort of let down with them. With the acting, it is so difficult. Like you always just have to be basically shit hot. Otherwise no one uses you. Like it's like you just, people want to see you in more films, more films, more films. And the more films you have, the more you'll be basically used. So it is difficult. And the transition was hard because I just went in thinking nothing of it to actually thinking I could make a career and make a lot of money out of this. And that's sort of what I aim to do. But it's like, as I grew up, mum was telling me all the time, like, this is, you really need to go for it. Like, God, basically, you've been given this opportunity. You really need to grab it. So it has been hard sort of ticking in my brain that actually this could be a career, like not just fun in a childhood. And obviously I'd love to do horses like as a main living, but there's just no the prize money and all of that. It's just shocking basically. So I can't just make a living out of doing horses, and I sort of realized that from a very early age. So I think that transition was even harder knowing that I had things relying on it.
I saw an interview with you just after, I think it was probably after Wonder Woman, and you said you wanted to be the first woman to win an Oscar and go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
You were very, and that is an amazing goal.
Yeah.
Has that changed now you've grown up a little bit, or is that still the goal? I think it's a good goal to have, by the way, and I do think actually probably it is achievable in some like element, but do you look back and go, oh, it's actually a bit harder than I thought?
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, I've said, I'm like, ooh, she's overreaching. Now, I mean, it's sort of, I've sort of taken a back seat from the show jumping because financially, like it just acting drying up and everything like that. And me obviously coming out of ponies, like, you know, you're off ponies when you're 16. And that's sort of what I wanted to do. And horses was a big transition for me. And then I sort of thought about it and I was like, do I want to take a couple of years off show jumping and just focus on the acting? And then I said, actually, I might have a bash at racing. So I ride out in the mornings and then do my auditions in the afternoon. And that sort of works out well. And I'm exploring that, you know, I could take up the racing instead of the show jumping or vice versa. And I'm just sort of figuring that out as I go.
Oh my God, overachiever. God, if you were my daughter, I would be so proud. Like, that is amazing. Because to have that mindset as well, to make sensible decisions is extraordinary. And they're tough decisions as well. They're not something you just wake up and go, oh, something I've, because you've been on Nations Cups teams, Youth Nations Cups teams. You are a successful show jumper as well. It's not like you're just kind of jumping twigs you've made in the garden. You're good at it. So that is a tough decision to make.
Yeah, and ultimately the dream is for every girl doing, like, you know, every child doing show jumping when they're younger is to be an Olympian, and that was mine. But I didn't come from a millionaire's background, so I was competing basically out of my depth. I was competing in with ponies. I mean I took my pony from jumping 80 centimeters to jumping like 135s abroad, and I was so proud of that. But as I grew up, I was like, actually, I'm competing with people that have four ponies in the class, and I'm, you know, throwing one dart. Like, it just didn't yeah. work. So Mum and I had a really long chat, and we were like, is this something that, like, the ultimate goal is to earn enough money that I can retire and just jump my horses at Longines Champions Tour and go to
I've been trying to do that for years, Lily. Don't want to shit on your parade or anything, but although you might be more successful than me. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, that is the goal. And with show jumping, you know, there's not an age limit really when you're older. So I'm hoping that it just sort of comes, you know, I'm only 17, so I'm praying that I can make it. Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Well, look at Jeff. John Whittaker.
I was going to say, Jeff's still going, so you'll be fine.
Yeah.
do you need a goal? Because that's one thing I find really fascinating is whenever you've spoken about horses so far, there has to be a goal. There has to be like badminton or burley or jumping at Longines, or, you know, even with the racing, you can see it flickering behind your eyes. You're like, I'm riding out for now. Like, do you find that, is that just something you have in your horses, or is that something that's like throughout your entire life? Like, if you're going to do something, there needs to be a destination at the end.
Yeah, I am very much sort of that type of person. Like, growing up, I was always like, I want to do this. I want to go to Olympia. Or I want to go to Hoys. I want to go to, you know, I want to go to all these places. But as I was growing up, I was like, actually, I've done that now, onto the bigger thing. And then there was obstacles during the way. But yeah, normally, like, goals are a very big thing for me because they help me sort of get it done. If I don't have goals, I'm a bit all over the place. But I think, yeah, like, my goal was for this year to get a film by the end of the year, and I didn't, unfortunately. But it's sort of that, like, makes me want to work harder more in 2025. And it's like with horses, like with my show jumping, because you're in ponies, I think that's a very crucial thing as well. Like, when you're in ponies, there's always something around the corner. Like, my pony was jumping every weekend, nearly Friday, Saturday, Sunday, have Monday off, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, it's very hard on them. So I think we were always chasing boys qualifiers, always chasing everything. So I think actually that made me have goals as well, because each year I'd be like, right, this is what I want to do, this is where I'm going. And so I think even in the acting, I think that sort of translates there as well, because I think, yeah, like I said, other than that, I'd be all over the place and I wouldn't get anywhere I have without goals.
So you thrive under that pressure, or was taking a step away from the show jumping and stuff nice to sort of lose that pressure on top of you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I do work well under pressure. Like, I think my mum is a big count. She has helped me a lot, because my mum is always on my back. Like, she's not in a bad way, but she's always like, you know, you need to get it done. You need to. She's a strong woman looking for success. So I sort of, she's always like that. But I mean, did the ponies? It did, actually, because even Mum said financially it was a big weight off our shoulders, because, you know, I was always trying to be the best, but you just, like I said, you just can't. And so taking a step back from it all was actually like, actually, I can chill for a bit, see where I am at in about 6 months, see if I want to continue it. I'd done a lot of things coming off of ponies. Like, I went to America. I would have never been able to do that if I was still in ponies. I went to America, went to Wellington. Like, I've seen so many things, but, you know, you've always got blinkers on. You're just always looking at the next qualifier. So I think taking a step away was probably the best thing to do.
I find it so interesting, and I think it's been brilliant for us to, like, have this conversation. I know we're meant to be talking about the filming, and we'll get there. We'll get to Hollywood.
Yeah.
But the story you're telling right now is such a common one, because it's very similar to me with my jumping. because I used to show jump when I was a kid, jumping on ponies. And the best thing about ponies is that, like you've said, there are a lot of people that have the cash to fund it, behind it. And all my best jumping ponies were owned by people that had lots of cash. And they were rich enough that they didn't need to sell the pony to buy the horse. And so I kind of got it into my head that I was half decent and was actually going to be able to do this show jumping thing, because I didn't even need to buy them. I could find people to ask me to ride them. But then there's the big realization then when you get to horses, you're like, oh, professional show jumpers get asked to jump the horses, don't they? It's like, and it's such a, like, I know for me, it was like a difficult, it's always awkward talking about money, always is, but for everyone. But I think for me, that was such a, my first sort of adult lesson in life was like, oh, my, I definitely think that for me, that was one of my big things of going from being like a kid to sort of growing up was like, oh, there is a real thing for that. And I think it's also so interesting because I think people get such a deluded thing in the media. Like, they'll be like, well, she's in Wonder Woman. She drives a Lamborghini and lives in a mansion in LA. And it's like, no, like, you can work on these. I work on these big films. I don't drive a Lamborghini. Yeah. I even have an office. You can see my stairs behind me as I'm sat in the kitchen.
Ben, you are a terrible driver. No one would let you drive a Lamborghini, even if you had one.
I think George would, if I had a good life insurance policy, then she might.
No, she'll be buying you a motorbike, then you'll know.
I'm terrified of motorbikes. I drove a moped once as a teenager, and it terrified me, but I did stand on it. Anyway, we've gone ever so slightly off track.
I want to know about the big black horse in Wonder Woman, because you look like a tiny human on this giant beast of a horse. What I find hilarious in my head is, you obviously, people who don't know about horses don't know the level of skill or whatever, but how many people in that set absolutely shat themselves at the thought of you riding that massive horse?
It was brilliant. And I tell you what, my biggest fangirl moment is the horse that Paul Mescal rides in Gladiator is the one I ride in Wonder Woman.
Oh my god, that is so cool.
My friend the other day was like, oh my god, he is so good looking. I was like, I rode that horse, just letting you know. anyways, back on.
What was the horse's name?
Everyone, Doctor.
Oh god, that's so cool.
So I think the horses on that film, if I'm right, were done by the Devil's Horsemen, weren't they? They were the company providing the horses. So Doctor is quite a famous little dude. Doctor has done nearly everything. He's the Lloyd's Bank horse, you know, is Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
No, it was pretty cool. And the people, on set, I just remember everybody being like, you're getting on that. And I was like, yeah. And then when I was on it, I remember people were like taking like cheeky pics. Like, they were all like, oh my god. I just remember everyone was like sort of in awe. And I was like, guys, don't worry about it. I do this every day. Like, don't worry about it. I've got this under control. But yeah, I mean, the Devil's Horsemen were great. And I loved every minute of it just because I was in the hottest country riding horses I love and behind a camera, which I love. So no, I did love it.
Country were you in?
So we filmed Wonder Woman. The first one was in Italy and London in Warner Brothers, and then the second one was in the Canary Islands, Fuerteventura and Tenerife, and
nice
London. So yeah.
And the second one was quite a bit more physical, wasn't it? The big stadium scene where you have to run. And Wonder Woman herself, I cannot remember the actress's name.
Gal Gadot. Yeah.
I mean, can I just say, I sound like I fancy women because I love Laura Kraut, but she is
hot. I fancy her, don't worry.
Oh my God. But she actually says that Lily is a badass. Like, but that seemed very physical, Wonder Woman too. That looked like you kind of opened this massive show as well.
Yeah, it was. I actually never realised that I was going to be at the beginning until like halfway through the film. And Patty went through it all with me, the director, and she was like, this is how it's going to plan out. And Mum and I were literally in the trailer and we were like, oh my God, like I got chills. I was like, this is incredible. But it was very physical. I had 6 months training before I even got in front of a camera before that. And, you know, I was getting trained by these incredible. Like when I tell you they were so like, honestly, stronger than any man I've ever met in my life. But I loved it. And then, so I lived in, where did I live? I've moved everywhere. I lived up north when I was filming, when I was like sort of rehearsing for Wonder Woman 2. So I literally would get on a train on a Sunday evening from Jumping My Pony on a Sunday morning, go and train there, stay in a hotel Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, head up home Friday evening, Saturday I'd jump, Sunday I'd jump, and then I'd be back home.
How were you allowed to jump? I can't understand.
That's a big secret that I wasn't allowed to jump. I was not allowed to jump. And everyone was like, are you jumping? And it was the Olympia qualifiers at the time. And I was
You'd have been dead. So for anyone who doesn't know, while we're talking about sort of cryptic film stuff, so like I've worked on films where on the weekend, we were filming a TV series in England, and on the weekend, I was staying in the same place where the actors were. And I was like, guys, I've got my car. Let's all go to the beach. And we're driving out of the resort, me driving. Jenny's already told you how terrible I am at driving. And I've got this car full of actors. As one of the producers runs out of their apartment on the complex and starts being like, stands in front of the car. And basically, in the actors' contracts, it was written that they weren't allowed to get in a car with anybody that wasn't a driver, basically. In case anything happens. Because of insurance. And so basically, when you sign up to do a big film, a lot of the times, you know, they'll be like, you're not allowed to horse ride, you're not allowed to go skiing, you're not allowed to, like, do CrossFit. You're like, anything if you're going to break. So I just had to, I love the idea of you doing your illegal show jumping to get to Olympia. You'd have been crapping yourself for thinking, don't qualify and win, because we don't need this all over social media.
I know, Mum and I, it was risky. But I literally, once I qualified, I stopped riding for a bit because that was all the way in December. And this was like, I can't even remember when the qualifiers were. And the most crazy thing ever about doing my own stunts was I show jumped every day of my life. And then when I actually got on set, I couldn't get insured to jump a log. Like, I couldn't.
Really?
I was allowed to like dangle off it. I was like, this is a bit strange. But yeah.
Do you know what? Let's be completely honest as well, because I work on films with horses. Let's be honest. The person they paid to jump the log instead of you probably made a worse job of it than you would have done, because you're probably a better show jumper than anyone who works in the blooming film industry.
To be honest, the girl who doubled me, Rochelle, and she was spot on. If anyone had to double me, it would have been her. So I'll give her all the credit.
I'm not throwing shade. Anyone from Devils who's listening, we're all friends. We all work together. All I'm saying is, it always makes safe circle of trust. But the only thing that really pushes me, that really amuses me, is say they'll have like, you know, like you say, you'll have an act like you yourself, an established actor that is an international show jumper, but they'll be like, no, not safe. We're going to have, like, Sandra, who trick rides but has never seen coloured fences, go over this instead. And you're like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, no, it is. It does plan out. Yeah, it's very strange, their thought process. But, no, it was like, I enjoyed every single minute of it. And it was very physical, but I didn't look at it as a physical job. I just looked at it for fun. I love just running around.
We found some videos of you on your Instagram. You have been stalked, just so you know.
By the way, can I just say, that is Ben, caveat, this is very weird. We have stalked you professionally, can I say.
For completely appropriate purposes. Don't make me feel weird. you doing some sort of previs stunt test work on the blue screen, and you're doing wire work in that. What did you think to all of that? So, for anyone who doesn't know, wire work is basically when you're attached to wires or cables and stuff as an actor or a stunt performer. So when you see Spider-Man jump and do three backflips, or even someone being carried up the stairs and it looks a bit effortless, they've probably got a wire on that makes it possible. What was like, that must have been insane, because that's dangerous as well, is the wire work.
Yeah, I found the wire work more dangerous than the horses, to be honest with you. But the I got introduced to like a harness and everything when I was on the first Wonder Woman, and that was literally like a pinch of salt compared to what I had to do for Wonder Woman 2. Like, I was in a harness and wires every day. Like, we would rehearse all the time, just the stunts to get them right and right. And because there was so many, it was a struggle. I don't know whether you've actually seen Wonder Woman 2, but there's a scene where everyone who has, there's a scene where we're jumping, all the Amazons are like clustered together on these poles, and we're jumping, like we're trying to get to the bridge to jump off it. And that was like incredible. Like, I remember one of the stunt guys doing the wires was like, this is the most wires I've ever seen on a scene, like, ever. Like, because we were all so high up, and because every single one of us were doing flips, wires were like shooting out everywhere. So you had to be so careful, but we'd rehearsed it so much that it was literally like on the day it was fine. But I loved doing the wires. I really enjoyed it. I just loved it. I loved climbing things. I loved flipping. I love everything. So I think it was such a good experience. But yeah, no, I'd do the wires all over again.
Before we move on to some of your other films, because I'm also a massive Nancy Mitford fan. So you've also been in another thing that I absolutely love. Like, literally, you've just managed to do bodies of work that I adore. But as a mum of my daughter's only five, but I'm very much all about empowering women and physical properties that women have. I think you should be athletic. And I think Wonder Woman was very much about that and empowering women. And suddenly, first time ever seeing this leading woman. I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. Did you, as you were so young making the films, but do you have a sense of that when you were making it, how like this was so important as a film on so many levels to women, and how empowering it was seeing athletic women on screen and badass women doing stunts? And but when you were making the films, was that something that they were thinking about? Because obviously that's what I got from it, but I didn't know if that was something that had to come across.
I think it was a big factor. You know, it's like she's possibly one of the best female superheroes of all time, so I think it was so detrimental that it was done properly and amazing to message across. But I think when I was making the first one, again, it was fun, so I didn't think too much. But the second one, I knew, like, I was just surrounded by these incredible women, and because it was a women only island, it was great. There was no men around, so when I was surrounded by these incredible females, there was like Ninja Warrior like stars, there was supermodels, there was like insane group of women. And I think it was also at that time that I was going into high school, and I just moved from a private all girls school to a public school. And because I was doing that, there was a lot of sort of things, like I was being introduced to like teenage boys, and they were horrible and I hated them. So when I went and I had my time to myself when I was doing Wonder Woman, I just loved it. I was like, I love this. I want a world with no boys telling me that, you know, I'm rubbish and I'm, yeah. So I think it was sort of at that time that I realized actually we need a lot of this in this world. Like, yeah, I was, how old was I? Like, 11, 12, I think. So I think that was like, it was a big thing for me now. And like, my favorite movie is Little Women, and I absolutely love that film with all my heart. And like, even now, I think it's so important that these films have been made. Like, I'll happily do any film that has female involvement in them. I love it, and I think it's very special.
Yeah, because when I was 11, a film like this with women like that, they would have all been stick thin, done probably a judo chop and run off and done their makeup.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like you are galloping horses, throwing spears and kicking the shit out of people. And it's just like, come on. Like you
love it.
And I think I love the fact that everyone called you a badass in it.
Just before we carry on, could I just say, I think it's so cool as well for anybody that argues that these things aren't important for children to see. You were 7 years old and then 11 years old. So, like, at ages that people would probably most likely, like, I'm 31. Like, if someone was like, oh, do you think that that's important for a 7 year old to see? And I'd be like, I don't think a 7 year old gets it. Do you know what I mean? But clearly, like, it is vital and it is important. And that's been something that really seems to have really helped shape you into sort of this strong, strong woman. And yeah, I just agreeing with you both, basically. Like it's
wait
so
till his wife's pregnant. He's gonna have a child soon, and wait. But you've only got till they're 12, Ben, to show them a good impression. After 12, they don't learn shit.
One of my favourite quotes is from a horse museum in France, and it's about
He's always got a quote.
A section on the Persian cavalry. And it says, between the ages of 3 and 30, a father teaches his son 3 things: to ride a horse, to shoot a bow, and to tell the truth. And that is my thing. Just make a good person that's not a... Because I'm having a little boy, so got to raise him to not be a prat, basically. Yeah.
Well, let George do it then. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
George is his wife, by the way. Lily, I'm not expecting you to know who George is. And then can we talk about I'm a massive Nancy Mitford fan. In the Pursuit of Love, Love in a Cold Climate, all these books are just incredible. If I'm correct in thinking, your part in that, was that filmed in Badminton House? Because I've been in that room and I'm pretty sure that was where it was filmed.
Yes, that is where it was filmed. I loved it. I love just scroll. I've never been in badminton when it was so empty. I loved it.
That is very cool. That is very cool. And had you read any of the Nancy Mitford books before you got that part? And just explain. Ben's looking very confused. Can you explain what? Your part and your role and what?
No,
it was a BBC series, wasn't it?
I was not looking so confused. I was just imagining her turning up in the car, being grumpy at badminton, being like, "Well, I always wanted to work here. This wasn't quite how I imagined it, but fine, it'll do."
Pursuit of Love it's based on a book, and I played the younger Lily James, and she had to ride a horse again. That role actually opened up a couple of things. Like, I laid down in a muddy puddle. What else did I do? I puked in a toilet.
No, we want to know the things you did on camera, not what happened outside of filming.
Those books are amazing, but it feels like that's kind of the direction you moved in a little bit with then Young Woman in the Sea, because again, it's one of those stories. I know that's based on true stories, but it's just, again, you seem to be playing these parts. So the part that you play in The Pursuit of Love, she is a strong woman. Like, she grows up to be a very strong woman, very independent, slightly nuts.
Yeah.
But then Young Woman in the Sea, you play, you're playing the sister of a very, very strong woman. You seem to be nailing these kind of iconic parts, like the younger versions of these iconic parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, another goal is to play one of those.
Be the older version.
I must have a sort of energy towards it, because I do, even my auditions are a lot like that, the female empowerment sort of things. But yeah, Young Woman in the Sea was very different, didn't have any horses in it, which was a first. That was a great film. You know, I didn't actually realise when we done the script reading, I don't really know, I did think it would be a special film, but after we read the script with all the cast there, I was like, wow, this is actually going to be something that is going to be very special. And I went back to the hotel and I was like, this this is a film that I am so happy to be part of. Like, it's such a special story that I think, like, my sister, I'd absolutely love to sit her in front of it and watch it when she can, because I think it's like, I just love how so many people tried to put her down, and she's just any man telling her not to. So I think that, yeah, I was so grateful to be a part of that. And I mean, the places that I went for it, not so grateful. I mean, never ever go to Bulgaria if you've ever been there.
Oh no.
Worst country I've ever been in all my life. It was so bad. It was so bad. But it was great, but it was just not a place to not a place to be. You don't have actor, but that was no thanks.
Yeah, this was slightly a colder type of feel to the film than being like an Amazonian goddess to basically wearing some pretty dodgy outfits and swimming in cold water a lot.
Yeah, no, it was, the costumes were something else. I loved it, because I thought it was just so different. Like, no one's going to see, a lot of films now, they're not set in them days anymore. And I love history and all that. I just love all that stuff. So I think seeing it all was, yeah, it was pretty special.
For me, it was about the, as well, that how different women were treated. She got selected. It's basically about the first woman to swim the English Channel, for anyone who hasn't watched it. And I really strongly urge you to, because it's not just her story. It's the story of how they weren't trained like men and expected to go and win medals. Yeah. So they got funding, but you weren't allowed to train. You weren't allowed to go and practice beforehand. You just got sent. And how they genuinely believed women weren't strong enough to do this stuff. Have you heard of the film, Ben, or seen it?
I've heard of it, as in I've seen it on Lily's Instagram. But I'm not a very up-to-date person, Jenny. You know that if it doesn't involve people with horses with no tack on, I probably don't know what's going on. Don't feel offended, Lily. We've had medal-winning equestrian Olympians on, and I'm like, cool, who are you? Can you still enjoy films when you've been in them? Because I know, even, obviously, I'm not an actor, we just provide the horses, but you'll be watching some moving scene, and your family and friends are watching it with you, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. What do you think? And I'm like, that's the day we had salmon for lunch, and the tea table was just behind that curtain.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, I do get what you mean. I mean, Wonder Woman, because I have so many fond memories of Wonder Woman, I can't really watch Wonder Woman, because I think it's like, it takes sort of the whole special thing about it away. I mean, I have watched it many a times because I've been sat down with family. I think, yeah, for Wonder Woman, it's sort of the thing, because I was so involved with the film, I think I was like, I'm not really meant to be viewing this. I'm like, I'm the one putting on the performance. So I think for that it's different. But Young Woman in the Sea, I mean, I was only in the beginning of it. And I think because it was COVID as well, we weren't allowed to like go on set when we weren't supposed to. So I think because I actually didn't know how it would all plan out, I think I could enjoy it a lot more. But with Wonder Woman, I was there for like the entire thing. So I think I've seen it all. Most of it.
There's one film, you can guess the kind of films that I like. So there's one film you're in with Liam Neeson, forgive me, I can't remember what it's called. Again, yes, I haven't seen that. Can you tell the type of film I like? If you could keep doing the classics, Lily, I will officially follow your career forever.
I'll say, Jenny, is this approved?
Yes, exactly. Jenny approved film. Thank you very much. Going to be a great one. But I do love Liam Neeson. He seems like a kind soul. Is he as lovely as he seems? That film, I've seen trailers for it. That's full on action by the looks of things. You've got a very good shit yourself face. Like, because you do look genuinely terrified in the back of that car.
Yeah, I seem to do a good, terrified face. No, Liam is another actor that I think he taught me so much. And it was my first sort of like lead role, where it's the first one that I, you know, sort of was through it the entire way. So that was a very sort of big step on the ladder for me. And doing that, yeah, he taught me so much. But I think because it was so different, I had a lot of lines, I had it. And it was basically, the film is about, we're in the back of a car and our father, like our dad, is a millionaire. And he gets into some dodgy business and someone plants bombs under our car. And we have to sort of like sort it out without getting lost. So it was cool, but again, it wouldn't be the type of film that I would put on and watch on a family night. But it was very cool to sort of see, like, I think that's possibly one of the most films that I've learned the most on, you know, learned how to be a better actor, and sort of see just, yeah, it was literally a learning curve, because it was something completely different. I learned so much from my fellow actors, but also, like, myself. Like, I would be on set and I'd be like, I actually don't like that. And I had that much power to say, could we actually do that again? But before that, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. They know more than me. But actually, looking back, I was like, would we be able to do that again? I just don't like how I sort of... So that, for me, it was like a big sort of step in my career.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. And you had to, and how are your accents? I always think that's quite a hard thing.
My accents are pretty good, to be honest. They've always been good. Like, mum's quite good at accents. We were always, like, having a bit of banter in the car. And so it's sort of turned out that way. And with your friends, we all love to do a bit of Australian here or there. My accents are pretty good.
Oh my God. This is just, I'm loving these stories. This is amazing. We've nearly been going for an hour already. So what, I mean, obviously the dream 10 years ago was to be an Olympic athlete as well as an Oscar-winning actress. I still feel like this could be achievable. You just got a bucket load of cash so you can buy some nice horses.
Exactly.
What's the plan for Lily? Where are you going? Is there a dream role in your head that you'd be like, oh, I'd love to... Is there something that you're kind of aiming for, or is it every day as it comes?
I would... love to, acting wise, there's like a couple of goals that I'd like to achieve. Like, I'd love to go to drama school. I think that's very sort of what I'd want to do.
I can't believe you've been in all these films and you've not been to drama school, but now this is amazing. I love it.
I had a chat with Liam Neeson and I was like, I just, what the next step is for me, like, do I, and this year has really, like, sort of proved that right. He said, when you find a time that you think is right and you're doubting yourself, he said, don't give up. He said, just take a new path. He said, try every single path before you give up. And he was like, and he said, you will never give up. If you try every path, something will work. He said, and I sort of thought about it and I spoke to my agents, I spoke to everyone, and I was like, what do I do? Like, genuinely, do I just, like, take a step back, or do I try harder? Do I, like, send letters to directors? I don't know. Like, this is the first time that I've sort of struggled for something just because of my age, licensing-wise. And they said, just try a drama school. Like, it's not something that I would have wanted to do 5 years ago. I'd been like, oh, I'll just bash another film out. But unfortunately, it doesn't quite work like that. So, even just sort of seeing, like, theatre-wise of it, just sort of learning how to capture an audience. Like, I mean, I don't think theatre would be what I would want to do, but it's just sort of covering all bases of that. So, again, that's another goal, drama school. And then dream roles, like, roles that I would love to do in the next couple of years, would be National Velvet.
Oh my God.
Welcome to that one.
Oh my God. And International Velvet as well. Yeah, oh my God.
I'll back both them out. National Velvet and International Velvet would be, I mean, that I've known them films since I was like 10. So I think that probably be. I
genuinely have goosebumps.
Right. Yeah. Simon has Aventers. I can train them for film. Jenny, you produce it. Lily, you can, take the lead. All we need is a backer. If you're listening to this and have a spare 200 million you'd like to blow, we can promise a profit. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be the best.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, they're both such different films. So, because National Velvet is obviously all the racing, and then International Velvet, the eventing scene.
I can't watch International Velvet because of when they shoot that horse on the plane. I'm like, no. Oh. I don't. No. They're due a remake. Come on. That's what everyone's doing.
And they need an advisor on it as well, because I'm sorry, if I have to watch one more bit of The Crown on Netflix and someone saying that Princess Anne was a show jumper, I'm going to lose my mind.
Can I say, in our defence, as a today's representative of horses in film, we very often tell the film people that the script doesn't work for what they're trying to do, and they just tell us they don't care. So that is...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's yeah. just extraordinary. Oh my God. Like literally, goodness, I'm that is just, I have a feeling this is going to happen though. I don't know why you've thrown it into the ether.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no doubts that this is like where that's where you are going, Lily. That is amazing. Ben, you have not stopped grinning since Lily started talking. Have you got any more questions for Lily? Like this has just been the best interview.
Have I got any more questions? Only one to finish. Lily, what is your equestrian ick?
Oh, yes. What's your equestrian pet peeve?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have one, but... Oh, God. I don't know, actually. Is it...
You can say the one that you're thinking of.
I think it's bad because they are sort of a part of my sponsor, but I love them dearly. But I think the... I think the matchy-matchy saddle pads aren't my thing.
Oh, that's okay. You can say it. I'm with you on that a bit.
They're not my thing. I wouldn't choose them for me, but go for it. My sister has many, so I'm not going to judge anyone. But I think...
How far matchy-matchy? What, like, bandages and numbner is okay?
I'm saying bandages... Yeah, bandages and numbner, I'll pass. Numbner, bandages, just everything.
Jacket, headpiece.
Yeah, ears.
Hat silk. Yeah, that would cringe me out.
We'll get on fine, Lily, because if I put bandages on, it's rare that they're all the same colour. So that'll be, I just grab what was there.
That is amazing. And also on our podcast, because most podcasts are all about like being zen and loving life and how to be mindful, ours is, our weekly feature is what's annoyed you this week? So what has annoyed you, Lily? What has got on your tits?
I have literally won, and it happened today. I rode in racing. You have a lead horse and you have like yearlings, blah, blah, blah. I was riding the lead horse, meant to be the best one in the yard. He nearly bucked me off on the canter, and that really annoyed me. I came round the bend and he launched me into the air. So that has annoyed me this week, and it will annoy me for the rest of the week.
That is absolutely...
I just hate getting jumped.
What about you, Ben? What's annoyed you? Yours is normally a good one.
Me, this week, very boring, very typical. But do you know how on the last podcast we recorded, you were like, what's annoyed you? And we were with Becky Moody and I was like, all I've done is muck out. Because I've got my dad's away filming. Dad's swanning it off on Peaky Blinders. I'm blumming. I probably can't say that, actually. Retake.
Dad's away. They're filming more Peaky Blinders. Oh my God. I didn't even know that.
You'll have to bloody edit this out, but they're making a film to finish. Set in World War II. Anyway, there aren't... Devils are on that as well. Devils are doing the hard work. They're doing the actors. And we're doing... You've been on that one.
Lily's got the inside scoop.
Right,
no,
cool.
I wasn't on.
Oh.
I wish it was. I just know it's happening.
So anyway, all of that's going in the bin. Start again. Well, actually, it's really boring. It's the same as, like, when I was talking last week about Becky Moody, when we were with Becky Moody, about how I had no staffing because our head girl had gone home and Dad was away filming. Then, actually, I've just done yard work and now everybody's back so I can train horses properly and everywhere's bloody frozen solid.
Oh,
so,
yes.
I've got my tiny indoor to work in, so now I have time. And no blumming way to go. So that is... I know that it's such a boring one, but I feel people can relate. Yeah.
Bloody freak. It's frozen. Oh, I hate it.
I think we basically, Lily will be Googling places where we're going to film National International Velvet. I have a feeling it might be somewhere hot.
Yes.
Race courses in hot countries is now our new...
America with grass.
Yeah, it's like, What do you mean international velvet? The Olympics are in Florida in summer.
I'm gonna be project planning for Bulgaria.
For Bulgaria.
Absolutely not. Fine, yeah. I will decline that offer.
Right. It has been an absolute joy chatting to you. Lily, our plans for this podcast are huge. We are hoping people will like and share and follow along, because the bigger this podcast gets, the more people like Lily we can get on. Thank you so much. We are hopefully going to take it on tour. We're going to do loads more. Will you come back? Will you come back and join us? No matter how famous you get, Lily.
100%. You have my promise.
Even after you win an Oscar, we need you on it. But Lily, you have been an absolute joy and a pleasure. It has been so nice having a little insight into your world. If my daughter grows up to be like you, I am going to be the proudest mother on earth. Keep being a badass, as many people have said about you on set. Keep making brilliant films. Good luck with the acting career, because I know you're at a transition point, and I honestly think great things are going to happen for you. And I've had so much fun chatting to you. Ben, it's been brilliant, isn't it?
It's been absolutely amazing.
Likewise. Thank you for having me on.
Well, all that is left to do. In your case, normally I say shut up and ride, but I should say shut up, go and win an Oscar, and go and get an Olympic gold medal, because I have a feeling it's going to happen. But yeah, shut up and ride. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you.